The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Simen Ayin Hei, Dinei Hamakas Haneris. We continue with Hilchos Shabbos, with the laws of lighting the candles. Sif Aleph. Chayiv kol adam lehafrish es atzmai mimelacha. Every person is obligated to separate himself from doing melacha, from doing forbidden work that may not be done on Shabbos. Lehadlik es haneiros, and to light candles. Lechol apachos, at the minimum, chatzi shoa kodem tzitzik echavim. 1/2 of an hour before tzitzik echavim, which is when the stars come out. That time is nightfall, when Shabbos has definitely started, and the person is obligated to be Moisif Michel HaKadosh, to add from the weekday onto Shabbos. This addition has to be before the period called Bein HaShemashos. Bein HaShemashos is the time we call twilight. It's the period when it is unclear in the eyes of Halacha, it's unclear in the eyes of the Jewish law, whether it is daytime or nighttime. And that period is for approximately 18 minutes, and that means 13 and a half minutes before Tzeisak HaKavim. That's the period called Bein HaShemashos. And during that period, one is obligated to separate himself from work because it may already be legally nightfall, and it may already be Shabbos. So in addition to that, one should separate himself from malacha, from work, beforehand, in order to fulfill the obligation to add from the weekday onto Shabbos. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch tells us that a person should really stop doing work 1/2 hour before Tzeisak HaKavim. That gives him enough time to add a significant amount of time onto Shabbos, in addition to the Bein HaShemashos period, and is before the Bein HaShemashos period, where you anyway must stop doing malacha. It's very possible the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch probably holds that Tzeisak HaKavim is approximately 72 minutes after sunset, and he's talking about cessation from work and lighting candles already after sunset, but 1/2 hour before the time of Tzeisak HaKavim. However, the modern halachic practice, the custom is to accept the opinion, at least to be strict, to follow the opinion that Bein HaShemashos period starts at Shkia, at sunset itself, and therefore it is forbidden to do any work after sunset. Even if one did not officially accept Shabbos upon himself, once sunset has come, the sun has sunk below the horizon, then one is not permitted to do any forbidden work, one is not permitted to do any malacha, and therefore, Tosefta Shabbos, the addition of Shabbos, this that you're obligated to add time before Shabbos starts, that would have to be before sunset, and that's why the custom is, at least the custom in the United States, is to light candles 18 minutes before sunset, which is approximately equivalent to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, 1/2 of an hour. That's 13 and a half minutes of the Bein HaShemashos period plus 18 minutes is approximately 1/2 hour that we are Mekabel Shabbos before sunset. However, the place can tell us, other place can teach us, that as long as one is Mekabel Shabbos at least a couple of minutes before sunset, one has fulfilled his minimum obligation of adding on to Shabbos, and therefore, even if one does not actually stop doing malacha at, we call candle lighting, 18 minutes before sunset, as long as one has stopped doing malacha some couple of minutes, 2, 3, 5 minutes before sunset, one has fulfilled his basic obligation of adding on to Shabbos. Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, another halacha, the Amru Beis HaKnesses Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos. If the shul in the synagogue is talking about a situation where there's a small city and there's only one shul in the whole city, and in that shul they already said Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos, the song which ushers in the Shabbos at the end of Kabbalah Shabbos, at the end of the prayer which we say ushering the Shabbos. So then the people in the synagogue and the shul have already accepted upon themselves the holiness of Shabbos, and they're not allowed to do any forbidden work. And therefore, since the town has now been accepted Shabbos upon himself, so therefore the Kitzur teaches us, even though maybe 2 hours before nightfall, Mikol Makim, still, Chal Shabbos HaHamut, Shabbos has arrived, has taken effect. And not only the people in the synagogue have to keep the laws of Shabbos, but even all the other people in the town who are not actually present in the synagogue, they didn't make it, they're running late, they also are obligated to keep Shabbos because the town has now officially accepted Shabbos upon itself. V'asurim, the Chol HaMelachos, and they, even the minority, are obligated, are forbidden to do any forbidden work that may not be done on Shabbos. V'afilu mishabah mi'ir acheres, even a guest, somebody who comes from a different city, lekan, to here, to this city, and he's visiting, chal alo Shabbos mi'yad kishomru b'tzibur mizmah sh'olayam ha'Shabbos, the laws of Shabbos have taken effect upon him immediately after the congregation has recited this psalm, the song for the day of Shabbos, because once he's in the city, the laws of the city apply to him as well, and just like all the members of the city, even though they're not in the synagogue, have to keep Shabbos now, so too he, the guest, also must keep Shabbos. Will be but in the city which has two shuls in town, there are two synagogues in town, in Echad Nigrach, one synagogue is not dependent upon the other one, does not follow the other one, and therefore in most modern day settings where you have a Jewish community with multiple synagogues, multiple shuls in town, so there's this concept no longer exists that there is a Kabbalah Shabbos of the city, because every shul has its own time when they pray and they daven, and they're Mekabel Shabbos separately, and no person is obligated to follow any one particular shul. Just to clarify, the earliest time that one could be in the Kabbal Shabbos, the one that's able to accept Shabbos upon himself. So the Kitzur says, even if it's 2 hours before nightfall, the consensus among the Paiskim is that one cannot really be in the Kabbal Shabbos before Plag HaMincha. Plag HaMincha is 1 hour and a quarter before nightfall, which, according to the consensus of opinion, In the current Paiskim, it starts at sunset. And therefore, one could be Mekabel Shabbos as early as an hour and a quarter before sunset, but not earlier than that. And if one was Mekabel Shabbos, one did accept Shabbos before that time, then it's not Shabbos. That decision did not take effect. He's still allowed to perform Melachim, to do work, and Shabbos has not really started. Now, an hour and a quarter that we say does not mean an hour and a quarter on the clock. It doesn't mean 72 minutes. Rather, or 75 minutes. Rather, it means an hour and a quarter of Shoyes Manyas. That means that if you take the amount of daylight hours and you divide it by 12, each of those is what we call a halachic hour. And an hour and a quarter of those halachic hours is the amount of time before sunset that one could be Mekabel Shabbos. And that varies, obviously, the winter, that it's even less, could be less than an hour. In the summer, it could be an hour and a half, 2 hours, more, depending on where a person is, how far north or south a person is. Sif Beis. Mitzvah Lehaibah Spineiris of Kavod Shabbos. It's a mitzvah, it's a positive thing to do, to increase the amount of candles or light that there is in the house in honor of Shabbos, in the days when they didn't have electrical lights, so the only light there was came from the Shabbos candles, and if there's a mitzvah to add light, to have more and more light, that's by adding candles. Without them, there is no light. Some people have the custom to light 10 candles, that would be to correspond to the 10 commandments, the Asaras HaDibros. Yesh Madlik and Shiva, and there are those who light 7, that would be to correspond to the 7 days of the week. Val Kaponim, but at the least, really, it's appropriate, Shemoin Lifchais Mishnei Neiris, a person should not light less than 2 candles, Neged Zachar Vishomer, corresponding to the 2 words that are in the Asaras HaDibros that start off the commandment of Shabbos, that, and one of them it says Zachar is Yom Shabbos, one should remember the day of Shabbos, and the other one it says Shomer is Yom Shabbos, one should guard the day of Shabbos. We are taught that both of them were set together, something which is not humanly possible to do, which only Hashem is capable of doing. And in remembrance, to commemorate these two facets of Shabbos, the positive commandments of Shabbos and the negative prohibitions of Shabbos, so we have two candles, one corresponding to Zachar, one corresponding to Shomer. And as we all know, there is another meaning that many have, that they light one candle for each member of the family. Whatever a person's meaning custom is, they should follow it. V'yach, however, b'shas v'chak, if it's a time of pressing need, meaning you don't have the candles, to light even two candles, gam v'echad tzag, even with one candle, gam v'chad tzag, even with one candle, it's sufficient, and you don't have to light two. The minimum requirement is at least one candle. V'yu aruchim, and the candles should be long enough, talking about if you're using actual wax or paraffin or tallow candles, they should be long enough, she'yam liku l'cha pachas avachar achiva, that they should remain lit at least until after what has finished his nighttime meal. Obviously, if one is using oil, there should be enough oil in there for the same amount of time. The point is that there should be light through the Suda, through the nighttime meal, because a meal eaten in the dark is not as significant and is not as enjoyable as a meal eaten in the light, and therefore part of the oinig and the honor of Shabbos and the enjoyment of Shabbos is that there should be light during the meal. The Ahadu and Liknes Neris Yafim, a person should try to fulfill the concept of Hidur Mitzvah, of beautifying a mitzvah by having beautiful candles. Damar Huna said in the Talmud, Masechta Shabbos, Haragil Bener Shabbos Shabbos, a person who is accustomed to lighting candles on Shabbos, and the Kitzur parenthetically tells us that what that means is Leishtado by Lasayis HaYafet, to endeavor to make them nice. Everyone lights candles on Shabbos. The point of the Gemara is that one takes extra care to make sure his candles are nice candles. They're beautiful, they're pretty. Havyan Leibonim Tamid HaChamim, then he will have children who are Torah scholars. Shenemar, as it says in the verse, Ki ner mitzvah v'Torah ar, a candle, a mitzvah likened to a candle, and the Torah is likened to a flame. And the Talmud is taking out of the pasuk, reading the verse, as if it says, Ayadei ner mitzvah, through a candle, which is itself a mitzvah, but our Torah, through that comes the light of Torah, that if one is careful with a candle, a mitzvah candle, meaning the candles of Shabbos, which are a mitzvah, he merits to have the light of Torah come from his family, and his children will be Talmidei Chachamim, they will be great Torah scholars. V'lachein, and therefore, because this mitzvah has within it the ability to cause somebody to merit progeny, children who are Torah scholars, therefore, Rali should tispamel ha'isha v'shas ha'malka, it's appropriate that the woman of the house, when she's lighting candles, she should pray, she'yitim ha'kadosh baruch hu banim zecharim, Meir Matayra, that Hashem should bless her, should give her children, sons, who will light up the world with Torah in the merit of this mitzvah that she's performing. The Torah, it's a good thing, Shatita, Mikaida, Meza, Putas, Latzaka, that the woman should give some coins, some amount of money to charity before lighting candles. Vishak Shastruach, a woman who has been having difficulty, Begidal Banim, with raising her children, as Shein Laklawa, she does not have any children at all. Skula, it's something which is beneficial. Shataim Rala Acher Ablakas Aneiris, Haf Tairish Shal Yer Misha in the Rosh Hashanah. After she finishes lighting candles, she should recite the Haf Tairah, the portion that is read from the Navi, which is the beginning of Shmuel, the beginning, the first chapter in the Navi Shmuel, Samuel, that we read on the first day of Rosh Hashanah after the Torah reading, that talks about how Chana prayed for a son. She was barren for many years, and Hashem blessed her with a son named Shmuel, who indeed was one of the greatest prophets, and indeed lit up the world with his Torah and his prophecy. And one says that it's a school, though, that she should have merit, and she should have things should go well in these types of endeavors, she should merit to have children, and her children should merit, she should merit that her children should follow in the Torah path and do the right thing. She should have an easier time raising them. It's the best, it's a good thing that she should understand what she says with time of the Kavanah, she should say it with concentration. Sif Gimel. Mitzvah min ha-Mulchor, it's a extra special mitzvah. Mitzvah, if you want to do the mitzvah in the best way possible, but Hadlik B'Shem and Zayis to light with olive oil, and that's because olive oil is absorbed through the wick, the best, better than any other oil, and therefore the light will be the clearest and the brightest and will flicker the least, and therefore it's a hidden mitzvah to have the best light possible for the Shabbos students by using olive oil. The Gam Shem and Haraga B'Neinu Shekarim Lumen Oil, and the oil that is a custom that we have among us in our countries, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was talking in Hungary where he lived, it's called Blumen oil, which is some type of oil from a flower, some type of flower. Kosher, that's also acceptable. It also lights well enough to be acceptable. But among other types of oils, there are those oils, among those oils, they are not valid to be used for lighting. For Shabbos, either they have a foul odor, and therefore they'll prevent you from enjoying your Shabbos too, though you may be inclined to leave the room and not eat where the candle is, and maybe they're don't get absorbed very well through the wick and they'll flicker, and you may be inclined to tilt the candle to make the flame better, which is a violation of the melacha of kindling. So everyone should stick to one of these types of oils. Also the wick, you should be mehadi, you should try to make it beautiful, you should try to do the mitzvah in the best way possible by having the wick made out of tzemer gefen, which is cotton, a pishtam, which is flax, linen, not flax, the processed flax. It's linen, a canvas, or I believe it's hemp. Because other types of materials, not all of them are proper, not all of them are proper to use, because some of them, the oil doesn't get drawn so well through the wick, and it will cause the wick to flicker. And again, when we have the problem of being inclined to tilt the wick, which is a violation of the melacha of Havara of kindling. Lundina Senu, in our countries, again in Hungary, where the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch live, Nayagim Lahadlik Beneris Haschiyim Mechemet, the custom is to light candles made out of chemet, which is animal fat, tallow, same sham, they are also valid as long as they're made like a candle. They dip the string into the hot, wet, hot tallow until it becomes a candle, like one makes wax candles. So that's a valid substance to use to light for Shabbos. But to take a piece of chemet, a piece of tallow, and just put it into a bowl with a teich psil, and just to put a wick into it. I mean, one did not make it as a candle, didn't dip the wick in and make it as a candle. Also, Hamlikan is forbidden to light like that because it's not going to light so well. And we're worried you may come to tilt the candle, which again will be a problem, a violation of the Melech of Havara. Hamadlik Tzarash Yavik Ashi Yoichaz Ha'ar B'Rev Oysa Chatichas Psima Hayetzim Aner. The one who lights, again, Hamadlik, one who lights the candles, Tzarash Yavik, he has to light, he has to hold whatever he's using, the match or whatever candle he's using to light the other candles, he has to hold it there, hold the flame to the candle, until the flame catches onto a majority of the piece of wick, which is sticking out of the lamp, and so too by the candles made out of tallow, or same would be with wax candles, or paraffin candles. The flame has to catch onto a majority of the wick that's sticking out, and one should not just touch the flame to the wick and then remove his hand and allow the flame to slowly blossom. One should leave the flame, the match, or the candle. You should leave it, holding it there against the wick until the flame catches hold of a majority of the wick, which is sticking out of the oil or of the wax, tallow, paraffin, whatever it is that he's lighting. Sif Dalet. Kfar Yodua, it's already known, Shekolam mitzvah is mevarchan alei and everlast yasam, that every mitzvah that one performs, one is supposed to say the blessing before performing the mitzvah. For example, one says the blessing on the shofar, and then one blows the shofar. One says the blessing on his talis and tefillin, and then puts on his talis and tefillin. But by lighting candles for Shabbos, Kevin should be hamlakam mekabelas ha'isha Shabbos la'atzma. Since through the act of lighting, a woman accepts the kedusha, the holiness of Shabbos upon herself, and she will no longer be able to do any forbidden work on Shabbos. We have bracha and the blessing harei haschos haschama b'hamlakam. That's the beginning of the lighting. Therefore, since saying the blessing is the beginning of the act of lighting, and the act of lighting is what creates the kedusha of Shabbos, the holiness of Shabbos, and she is accepting upon herself not to do any forbidden work, and can therefore, in tevarich techila, if she will say the blessing first, loituchal loy mahadlik, she will no longer be able to light because it will already be Shabbos for her, and she'll be stuck. She won't be able to light the candles. The alkein, and therefore, he mamlekes techila. When she lights Shabbos candles, she should first light the candles. In order that the blessing should still be considered that it took place before the mitzvah, before she performed the mitzvah, she stretches out her hands, she covers her face with her hands. She shouldn't see the light, and she shouldn't have pleasure from the light. And then she says the blessing. And she removes her hand, and she looks at the candles, and now she has pleasure from the light. It says if she said the blessing before the act of lighting. Parenthetically, the Kitzur tells us in Mishum de Light Plug, and because it says in order is not to make a distinction and make people confused, they have the custom to follow this procedure in Gam B'Yomtiv. Also on Yom Tov, even though on Yom Tov, even after the blessing, even if you accept the holiness of Yom Tov, she will still be allowed to light the candles, because on Yom Tov one is allowed to light a fire. One is allowed to light a candle. However, you shouldn't get confused, so no matter whether it's Shabbos or Yom Tov, they say the blessing, they first light the candles and then say the blessing. However, there are many achrenim, many commentators who disagree with this. And they say that one should differentiate between Shabbos and Yom Tov. And on Yom Tov, one should first say the blessing and then light the candles. There are varying customs regarding this matter. One should follow their personal custom. V'ikar ha'neiros shebehen hava kabbal Shabbos said the Kitzur that the main candles, through the lighting of those candles, serves as an accepting of the kedusha, of the holiness of Shabbos. Hein elish al shulchan are the candles that are on the table. That you will be eating on that table. And therefore, tablet is some machrinus, we should light those candles last. Meaning, if she's going and lighting candles in all the other rooms in the house to be planning on using, in the kitchen, in the living room, let's say, in the den, and then she goes to the dining room to light the candles on the table, those should be the last candles she lights, because it's with those candles that she's lighting in the place that she's going to be eating that she accepts Shabbos upon herself. And in a time of need, it's difficult for her to be mekabel Shabbos, to accept the laws of Shabbos at the time of lighting candles. For example, she has to go to the mikveh, and she needs to perform malacha either in order to get there or while she's there. After lich benching, she won't be able to light candles after she goes to the mikveh, because by the time she gets back home, it will already be nightfall. In the chuppah, she has to go to a wedding. The custom was in Europe, many people used to get married on Erev Shabbos on Friday, and they would save on the expenses of the meal for the wedding, because the Friday night meal would be the wedding suda, and everybody would chip in and bring their own food that they prepared for the Friday night suda, and they would save the chasen and kallah, the expense of having to provide food for everybody. So if she wants to go to a chuppah and she wants to perform malacha, or either in order to get there or at the chuppah, and she won't be able to light candles afterwards because by the time he comes back, it'll be after Shabbos, where it has already started. Well, if it's some other urgent matter, she can make a stipulation that she is not accepting Shabbos while she is lighting the candles. And he references Ayin Lekamayim, one should take a look later on, Simin Kuf Samos Tefei. And then, Tucham Levarich Kedem Halakha, she's able to even say the blessing before she lights because she already stipulated that she's not going to accept Shabbos through this act of lighting. She doesn't utter this stipulation with her mouth. She just thinks it in her heart. That is sufficient. Sifhei. Mitzvah Hamlaka Saneris. Cholo Bein Ha'anashim Bein Ha'anashim. This obligation to light candles applies equally to men and to women. Ella, however, She'anashim Muzharis Ba'yosin. Women are more warned about. It's more their duty. So while men also have an obligation, it's more the responsibility and it's more their concern than with men. And the reason is, because they are found in the house, so it's more their purview to be the ones to light the candles. The men may very well be in the shul, in the synagogue, already praying. Therefore, it's generally the woman of the house who is the one to make sure the candles are lit. But additionally, because the woman extinguished the light of the world, meaning Adam Harishon, the first man, was considered the light of the world, the choicest aspect of creation, and she dimmed his light, Shechatil Adam Harishon, that she caused Adam Harishon, the first man, to sin, and she darkened his soul, Shekriya Ner, which is called a Ner, called a candle, a flame, Kamashra Kosev, as the verse states, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, the flame of Hashem, is the soul of a man, and she dimmed that flame by causing him to sin, that she enticed him to eat from the forbidden fruit of the Eitz Hadas, of the tree of knowledge. Therefore, she has to fix this by lighting candles in the honor of Shabbos, similar to the concept that we saw earlier when we talked about a woman baking challah on Erev Shabbos, in order that she should be able to separate challah and perform the mitzvah, also for the same reason that she caused Adam Harishon to be chaytin. Is also called the challah of the world and the choicest component of the world, and therefore she should fix that by performing the mitzvah of challah. And so too here, she's sort of fixing that, and which rectifying that which she did wrong by performing the mitzvah of hamakas neiros. V'lachein, and therefore, since it is more the purview of the woman, it's more her obligation. If the woman is in her house, she takes precedence for this mitzvah. And even if the husband wants to light the candles, his wife has the right to demand that she be the one to light the candles, because it is really the obligation of the woman over and above the man. And still, it's appropriate that the man also should help with this mitzvah. And he should prepare, he should fix the candles, meaning prepare the candles, let's say in the candelabra, put the oil in their proper place, put the wicks in, and he should sinu the wicks, which means she unleak on that he should light the wicks, and then extinguish them, so they should be easier to catch fire afterwards, then when his wife comes to light it, she'll have an easier time in lighting the candles. A woman who has just given birth, in the first Shabbos after childbirth, if the husband should light the candles and make the blessing, the place can tell us that the reason is because in those days she didn't get out of bed for like a week after she gave birth, and therefore she really couldn't get to the table to light the candles, therefore the husband should take care of it. Nowadays that women are up and around much earlier, the Peskin nowadays tell us that it's perfectly okay if the woman lights candles the first Shabbos after she gives birth, assuming she's home and not in the hospital. It's fine for her to light the candles in the house. But after the first week, meaning once she's up and around already, any time that she is nida, she has a legal status of a nida, she still should be the one to light the candles and to say the bracha.